I'm joined by 90.7 political commentators Dick Batchelor and Lou Fried. Dick Batchelor, former Democratic State House representative, also the founder and president of the Dick Batchelor Management Group. Dick, nice to have you.
Good to be back, thank you.
And Lou Fry, a former Republican congressman, the founder of the Lou Fry Institute for Politics and Government at the University of Central Florida. Lou, very nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Let's talk about Lieutenant Governor Carlos Lopez Cantera. He's expected to announce his bid for the Senate seat vacated by Marco Rubio, who'll join Congressman Ron DeSantis and businessman Todd Wilcox in the Republican primary. Dick Batchelor, the Florida Democratic Party labeled Lopez Cantera a do-nothing Lieutenant Governor. Do you think that's fair?
Lieutenant Governors don't do much anyway. They're used to provide over funerals and preside over funerals and represent the governor. We can't be there. But the thing that he and Congressman DeSantis need to understand, that no one knows who they are. Unfortunately, sometimes the ego get in the way, and you think because you're lieutenant governor, either because you're a congressman and you've done these great things, you know, people know who you are. They don't. And as Lou and I agree, this is a statewide campaign, obviously, number one. Number two, we've got six media markets. Florida is one of the most expensive states to run in. It will require millions of dollars, so it'll be interesting to see who gets back in. I think other candidates on the Republican side will get in.
Who do you think, Lou Fry, would be the best bet at this stage for the Republican Party?
I don't. You're much too early now. I think to pick and choose unless it's your godfather.
Dick Batchelor, what about this idea of name recognition? You mentioned the fact that the lieutenant governor, it's in some ways a bit of a ceremonial post.
Yes.
He does get out there a little bit, though, so does he have a bit of an advantage kind of inbuilt?
Well, I think he has an advantage because he's statewide. The question would be how much the incumbent governor, Rick Scott, will help him. Does he really want to help the lieutenant governor in this race, and does he want to tap into his resources, which are pretty strong?
Yeah, how about backing up a little bit, though, because I feel, as we've looked at this thing, that the question has buzzed through my mind in the morning, sitting there trying to figure out, what does the governor want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's someone who started out as a novice in politics. He turned it around. In essence, he became someone who at least understood what politics mm-hmm. was about mm-hmm. and wasn't saying a lot of silly things. Does he want to be a cabinet officer? Is that
in
where
the
U.S.
cabinet you're talking about? Yeah,
yes. He, I think, has the ability to anoint somebody. If he put his resources behind it, he'll put the money behind it. He'll talk about a team. He'll talk about working together to build in the state. To me, we're sitting here talking, but we're talking peanuts, and he has got the gold coin.
And the rumor is, of course, that he's looking at the U.S. Senate 2 years down the road, Bill Nelson's seat. So whether or not he wants to weigh in this U.S. Senate seat, we'll see. But I still expect others to get in this race. You don't have a
I didn't mean to say they wouldn't get in the race,
right.
But I'm just saying I think that's the key.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Certainly not as many candidates as the Republican primary for president as yet. We're talking to Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry, talking about Florida politics at the moment. You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm Matthew Petty. Let's talk about another candidate with pretty high name recognition, Alan Grayson, running for Senate in the Democratic mm-hmm. primary. A widely anticipated announcement he made saying he's jumping in the race for that seat, vacated by Marco Rubio. He'll face fellow Congressman Patrick Murphy in that primary, but Murphy does have the fundraising advantage and the endorsement from the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. Dick Batchelor, what do you think about this? Are the Democrats backing the right horse?
Well, the fact is the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee usually does not weigh in the primary. They will wait until after the primary is over. So it's unprecedented, really, for them to endorse this early in the game. But obviously they're very much afraid of Grayson and his campaign. You know, Grayson will be to the Democrats what Ralph Nader was to Gore in 2000. He could be the spoiler. And frankly, mm-hmm. if Grayson is the nominee, he could also hurt Hillary Clinton in the presidential race.
Badly.
So you've got a lot of people who don't want him to run, did not want him to run, but he's in the race now, and it's just see how he behaves himself in this race. But hopefully Murphy will get a lot of support. And keep in mind, Alan Grayson's personal net worth is over $32 million. He could spend part of that, not unlike the governor did in his race. He has the ability to raise a lot of money. He raised $100,000 in one day when he announced he was going to run from the MoveOn.org and those organizations. People who are members of the organization. So he has the ability to raise some money. But it would be interesting to see this. If he's learned from his mistakes, he can't be as caustic and acidic as he has been in running the U.S. Senate. Will hurt you, as Donald Trump.
Well, just based on what he said last week, are you expecting a pretty fiery campaign?
I'm expecting a fiery campaign. Only thing you're going to go after his opponent on this point is he used to be Republican, he switched parties.
What about just digging down into the issues a little bit in his announcement, Grayson, kind of focusing on seniors? Is this kind of a smart vote, do you think, Dick Batchelor, for Grayson to be courting?
Oh, and sure. Everybody's in favor of Medicare expansion, yeah. Taking care of senior citizens.
I got to go to the dentist next week. I hope he's good.
I hope he's there. So he's picked the general thematics of his campaign are traditional Democratic, whether or not liberal or moderate, but you don't see anybody coming out except maybe one or two of the presidential campaigns talking about, in fact, Governor Chris talking about maybe capping the Social Security based on a certain income level and even Medicare benefits. So you've got some people talking about it, but all in all, no one's going to touch that holy grail.
That's not news, by the way.
Right.
What about the idea of Grayson as a candidate that voters can go for? If we kind of get beyond party politics for a moment, can he appeal? Does he have that sort of broad-based appeal, do you think?
Well, he has some appeal. In fact, look at look at our presidential candidates on the Democratic side. I mean, he is a devout socialist. He's running as a socialist, even though he works with the Democrats very closely and in his U.S. Senate. But, you know, look how many people he's getting in Iowa coming out to these, you know, these rallies, 10 and 15,000 people. So there's an element out there, but I don't think the element's significant enough, and part of that will wear off.
I don't think it's got legs. I think you've seen the Ralph Nader, you've seen different things that can hurt. It can take some votes away, and if there's a chance that the Democrats really have a chance of winning, you're going to see a whole bunch of mea culpa. I don't think it's going to carry that much, not in today's world, but you're going to have to eat a lot of what you said.
The most excited people about the Grayson candidacy are the Republicans.
Right, and journalists.
And journalists, of course, yeah, of course. Plenty of fodder.
Well, let's talk about the seat that Grayson will be, Alan Grayson will be vacating. His congressional seat will be up for grabs. We've got Florida State Senator Darren Soto, former State Representative Ricardo Rangel, and possibly Grayson staffer Susanna Randolph putting in bids for that seat. Do you think this will be a close race, Dick Batchelor?
More people are getting in the race. Ms. Randolph has said she's already announced that she is going to run for his seat. Of course, she's a staff member of Congressman Grayson at point in time. Darren Soto, and as a former House member, currently a Florida senator who has worked across the aisle, is very, very popular. He's in a very large Puerto Rican population in that congressional district, so I think he has the advantage being an incumbent state senator, has the ability to raise money. But I, again, in that race, would expect other candidates to get in. Keep in mind, we've got this reapportionment thing going on, too, as mandated by the Supreme Court. So that could change the lines again. So this is not over. I expect a number of people to announce for a vacant congressional seat.
How important would that seat be for Republicans, do you think, Lou Fry?
I think it would be very important. I've waiting for the reapportionment to come out and what's going to go on. But I don't know, Dick, and you can jump in on this. Mm-hmm. I don't see much change. But that's the seats up in the air. I think that if you got it properly financed and so forth, you might be able to run.
Well, again, I still think we have to wait for the court decision
on
reapportionment.
Ahead of the line.
Think about Val Demings, you know, who would be a strong, you know, candidate. Now, it depends on where she lives and where she's willing to run. She can run outside the district and move into the district. But again, there will be a number of candidates in that race. It's not over yet.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. We've been talking to Dick Batchelor and Lou Fry. Dick Batchelor, former Democratic State House Representative. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And Lou Fry, former Republican Congressman. Lou, nice to have you.
Thank you.